This morning and tonight, we're going to be studying on alcohol. And we're particularly going to be going in depth on it tonight. But this morning, we do just want to talk about a baker's dozen reasons not to drink alcohol. These are all from the book of Proverbs, specifically chapter 23, and a lot of it from what James just read. But as we think about alcohol, we all know someone who's had problems with alcohol. We all have family members somewhere in our extended family. I can remember many times going to our family reunion, and there was always someone there who, before the day was over, would be drunk. They'd be stumbling around and slurring their words and making a fool of themselves, as drunk people generally do. And, you know, there is something about alcohol that affects the human body. And it doesn't matter, you know, there are people, oh, I have a tolerance for it. Yeah, you may have a tolerance for it, but it still affects the human body. Now, there are a number of things we'll look tonight more in depth at, even what the experts say about alcohol. But I think we're going to look this morning at some things. These are good reasons not to get involved with alcohol. Here are some things that are said from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. We also notice as well, the King James says, whoever is deceived by it. And I think that's a key word for us to think about. There are a lot of people who are deceived by alcohol in that they think they can handle it, but it's handling them. It's a deception that goes on in our mind. We think, oh, and you hear it all the time. Well, I can stop anytime I want to. Famous last words of the addict. I can stop anytime I want to. Because of my experiences, even as a young person, with people who drank, I decided very early in life, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Not to mention even the smell of it will turn my stomach, and always has. But as a Christian, I've discovered the Bible has a lot to say about alcohol, and it's not positive. If we believe, as we often proclaim and teach, that a tree is known by its fruit. You can tell whether something is good or bad by the results that it brings. Then when we look at alcohol and we look at the results that it brings, we have to confess, it's not good. Now, are there purposes for alcohol? Yes, indeed there are. Certainly we know medicinally, Ashley probably knows a lot more about that than I would about, you know, as a pharmacist. He's our resident drug dealer, you'll know that. But he's, you know, as one who works with all of these different things, he knows that there are a lot of medicines that contain percentages of alcohol for a certain purpose, and they do certain things. I was surprised as I was studying this how many different, even, you know, the anti-diarrheal medicine. You think, well, really? Or even some of the anti-constipation medicines. You're like, huh, okay. So, you know, and you know about like NyQuil and things like that, cough syrups and things like that. But some of those other, you just don't think about, well, really? Those things have, yeah, because alcohol does have a purpose. God created this world in a way that even poisons still can have their purposes in one way or another. But alcohol, without a doubt, is a poison. It does make us think, though, when we see these things. In Proverbs 23, 19 and 20, Solomon says, "Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way." And this is totally off this subject, but let's see it. Guide your heart. How many people do we have today that are following their heart? Follow your heart. The Bible teaches us over, guide your heart. You lead your heart. Don't let it lead you. It'll lead you astray. But anyway, guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. There are some problems that come from excess. And this is one of those things that we have to watch out for. Alcohol is often a problem of excess for many, many people. And then Proverbs 23, 29 through 35, that was just read, and we have seen that already. In Proverbs 31, verses 4 and 5, this is not something Solomon wrote, but these came down from some things King Lemuel's mother told him. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Now he does go on to say, talk about some of those purposes of alcohol. He talks about giving it to those that are dying. It's a painkiller. And of course, back then, today we don't use alcohol. We use morphine, which is much stronger than alcohol, when someone is dying, to try to relieve the pain of those deaths. But alcohol was one of those things that was used because it was of that medicinal value. But for us, just to partake of it and to consume it, it causes a lot of problems. So we're going to, though, turn back to chapter 23, and we're going to focus there, because in chapter 23, we see a lot of the problems that come from the use of alcohol. And Solomon, we often acknowledge, well, he was the wisest man that ever lived, of course, you know, with the exception of Jesus, who was the Son of God. So he certainly had wisdom. Solomon did not. But Solomon, as just a human being, he was blessed by God to have all this wisdom. And he shared that with us in the Proverbs. And so we need to look at that and think, well, is this a wise thing that Solomon's trying to tell me? And I've been making foolish decisions by doing it differently. So first, let's consider the scarcity or the shortage caused by alcohol. In verse 21, "For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty." There are not a lot of rich drunk people. And in fact, even people who do become wealthy and successful and get involved in alcohol, many times when they become alcoholics, it destroys their family and their wealth, and they come to poverty. They start making foolish decisions in their business or whatever it was. They start not being able to do their things that they should because of their drunkenness, and it becomes a problem that destroys them. Secondly, we want to consider the stupor caused by alcohol. He says, "And drowsiness will clothe a man with rags." One of the things that alcohol does, it is a depressant. It's categorized that way. It slows you down. It eventually makes you sleepy, makes you sleep. That's why it's in some of those medicines like NyQuil, because it'll make you sleepy to help you sleep so you can get some rest if you're not able to sleep because of the cold or flu symptoms or whatever you have. So the drowsiness will cause a stupor on someone. And we've all seen, just like this young lady in the picture, we've all seen someone who's had too much to drink and they're just passed out. And you can't wake them up from it, from their drunken stupor that they're in the midst of. And so that's something that we want to avoid. And of course, with all these things, the reason we want to avoid these things is because they're things that will have a negative impact on our life. And we can avoid them by avoiding the cause of them, which is the alcohol. And then, of course, there is the sadness caused by alcohol. In verse 29, he goes on a run of who has things. And the first one is, who has woe? Have you ever met one of those sad drunks? You know, there's a lot of people who may struggle with alcohol, and they may keep it a secret for a long time. But at some point, it becomes visible to those around. But who has woe? Who has this sorrow? I used to have an uncle who, one of the things I've found, a lot of the alcoholics and drunks that I've known are really some of the nicest people when they're sober. They really are. they're great folks, but then that alcohol just destroys who they are. It just turns them into something else. But he wasn't, you know, and we talk about, well, there's mean drunks and there's, you know, sleepy drunk. He was a sobbing drunk. He would get drunk and he would call and he would cry about all the mistakes that he'd made in his life. And the problem, of course, being when he sobered up, he wouldn't remember all his sadness about all those things. But who has woe? Well, we're going to see the answer to all these. The writer of Proverbs tells us. And the sorrow caused by alcohol. Who has sorrow? There are a lot of people, because of alcohol, who have sorrow. Deep sorrow. Not just sadness. You know, all of us get sad from one time to another. And there are those even who struggle with depression in one way or another, and they struggle with sorrow and sadness continually and strive to overcome that, and it's hard. But alcohol causes a sort of depression of the mind, and it destroys the things that can help the body to recuperate and recover. What about the strife caused by alcohol? He says, who has contentions? Who's fighting all the time? Now, that doesn't mean that sober people never fight. I've seen sober people get in a fight too. Well, they may have been, at least without alcohol, they may have been enraged by something, and their anger and hatred consumed them just like a drunk. And they may have become overwhelmed by it. We even talk about someone being drunk with rage or drunk with hatred sometimes, because it acts in the same way as someone who is drunk with alcohol. But who has these strife and these contentions? Who's wanting to pick a fight at the bars all the time? It's those that are involved with alcohol. Who has complaints? Well, when somebody's on the bottle, boy, they let everybody know it. They let everybody know. They tell everybody all what's going on, what all the problems are. And they're squawking about it all the time. We need to beware, because it's easy to get caught up in this kind of upsettedness about everything. Again, even when we're sober. But the problem is, when we're sober, we know how to control these things. But when we let alcohol get in there, one of the things that they say is, well, loosen up. Have some alcohol. Have a drink. It'll help you loosen up. It'll help you, you know, lower those inhibitions. A lot of times those inhibitions are there for a good reason, because they're inhibiting us from doing and saying some things we shouldn't. I don't know about you. I saw one of the things as I was looking for pictures and things through this. One of the things somebody said, drunk words are sober thoughts. The things somebody thinks when they're sober, but they've got enough mind to, you know, I shouldn't say that. When they get drunk, guess what? Out it comes. You remember a few years ago, you know, after Mel Gibson made The Passion of the Christ, a few years after that, he was stopped for drunk driving. And they wound up with the recording from the police officer that was stopped him and was arresting him, of him ranting and raving, a lot of anti-Semitic statements that he was making and accusing the Jews in Hollywood of all this. And he sounded like a madman. Why? The alcohol had made him one. But you know what? The things he was saying out loud, he'd had those thoughts already. But he was keeping them to himself. You know, all of us have thoughts. Would you like for everybody to know everything you've thought in the last week? I mean, I could, you know, if we're honest with, you know, I've thought some things I shouldn't think in the last week. You know, somebody cut me off in traffic and I thought something not nice. And it, you know, okay, it's okay. You have to catch yourself. But you know what? The person who's consuming alcohol will let those things slip they'll let them fly. It loosens the tongue. And so they start saying things that they shouldn't say, as well as, of course, doing things they shouldn't do. What about the soreness caused by alcohol? Who has wounds without cause? Almost anyone who's ever been drunk, because they wound up doing something, hurting themselves in some way, and they didn't even remember it. They don't even know it happened. But it gets them. And they, you know, they went, well, I got these bruises, and I got, well, what happened? I don't remember doing anything. And they don't remember the things that they have done. And then he asks, who has redness of the eyes? Well, most of us that are suffering from allergies. That's, but no, just, obviously, the redness of the eyes that is caused, the scarlet caused by alcohol. We see it, you know, a lot of times, the rosy cheeks, the red nose and the red eyes, and it just turns the way you look to more unpleasantness. And it's the alcohol that does those things to us. And he answers that question then in verses 30 and 31. Those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of the mixed wine, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. He's warning you, if you don't want these things to be happening to you, then here's the way to avoid it. Solomon's trying to warn his own son, don't go down this path. It's a path that, and the thing about it is, you know, if you ask people who are alcoholics and are openly admit that they've got a problem with alcohol, if you ask them, well, you know, did you set out to do that? No. They never set out to be addicted to it. They didn't go, you know, I'm going to start drinking so I can become addicted to it and ruin my life. That's never the goal. That's not what they wanted. And yet, they say that 1 out of 10 people who drinks becomes an alcoholic. Now, somebody, well, that's 9 out of 10. I'll be one of those 9. Problem is, you don't know which one you'd be. Why are you going to take that risk? That's a pretty high percentage, 10%. He goes on to say, then, how about the sickness caused by alcohol? He says, you know, it may go down smooth. It may seem really nice at first, but at the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. And that's the thing, you know, a lot of people, well, you know, I just have a little drink here and a little drink there. You don't know where it's going to end. Yeah, that may be where you started, but where will it end? In the end, Solomon tells us, it's going to bite you like a snake. It's not going to be a good thing. It's not going to be a good result. And then there are the strange sights and thoughts caused by alcohol. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Your mind will imagine these perverse things. Drunk people do these things that they see things that aren't right, that aren't the way it ought to be. They hear things and think things that aren't right. And it's the alcohol that does that. Now, obviously, we'll stop here for a minute. Alcohol is obviously not the only drug that does these things to people, is it? There are a lot of drugs that cause these kinds of problems in people's lives. But alcohol is certainly one. Those strange things. And then there's the stupidity caused by alcohol. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast. You know, that's not a very bright thing. Lay down on the top of the mast at sea, that's not a good thing. But it's also, for some reason I thought this slide was different. I thought it said the swaying of caused by alcohol. I may have gotten them out of order here somehow. Got them messed up. when I did this. But I was thinking about the swaying of it. You see it. They can't even. That's the police test that they give. Can you walk the straight line? Of course, it reminds me of a story about the fellow who was stopped by the policeman, and he had a bunch of knives in the long, sword-like knives in the back of his car. And the police officer said, what do you got all those back there for? He said, oh, I'm a juggler, and I use them when I juggle. And so he said, really? You can juggle those swords? Yeah, I can. He said, well, get out and get them and show me that. And so he gets out, and they're standing there on the side of the road, and he's juggling the sword. This other guy drives by, and he looks at that, and he turns to his wife, and he says, well, I sure am glad I quit drinking. They've really cracked down on this sobriety test. When you're drunk, you can't walk a straight line. You can't, you can't stand on one foot and close your eyes. For some of us have trouble with that at the best of times. But certainly when you've been drinking, it impairs your ability. They even have a campaign. They buzzed driving is drunk driving. And all these things. Because alcohol affects us in that way. It dulls our senses. It makes us slower to react. It makes us unable to have a sense of balance that we all need in order to function in our daily life. That's why, you get drunk people tumbling down flights of stairs and all sorts of things because of the alcohol. And so we have that number 11 should be the swaying. Sorry about that slide. It should be the swaying caused by alcohol. And then there's the stupidity caused by alcohol. They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I didn't feel it. Well, they'll feel it in the morning. The next day, that's where those who has the bruises without cause. They think they're Superman when they're drunk. They can't. Nobody can hurt me. I'm invincible. Alcohol makes your mind not feel the pain. That's why it was useful. King Lemuel said, give it to the one who's perishing. It dulls the pain. That's what it does. But as much as we may hate pain, pain serves a purpose. God created pain to let us know when something was wrong. If we have aches and pains, it's because there's a problem. Now, if we can, that helps us know, hey, I need to fix that problem. If I break my arm, it hurts. So I know there's something wrong with it. I've heard about people who have been born without pain receptors. And they can't feel pain. And they have to be super careful all the time. Because you or I, if we touch the iron skillet's handle and it's hot, and we say, oh, okay, that's hot, I better get the hot pad. But that person can reach out there and grab it and pick it up, and it can just be burning, and they don't even notice it until they look at, oh, that's all burnt. How did that happen? Pain serves a purpose. So yeah, there are times, like when someone is perishing, or maybe if somebody was going to go into surgery, that used to be the thing. Somebody got a bullet wound and they were going to pull it out. They pour a little of the alcohol on the wound to sterilize it because it kills bacteria and stuff too. And then they'd give them a drink of it to dull the pain while they pulled the bullet out, right? It served its purpose back then. But the stupidity caused by it, because we can't remember what was done. And so many people, when they sober up, they realize they've done some horrible things. I almost chose a different picture than this one. There was one, it had a picture of a handicapped parking space. We've all seen handicapped parking spaces, but this particular one was different. Under the wheelchair in the space, there were words written. And it said, every 45 seconds a drunk driver makes someone else qualify to park in this space. Every 45 seconds. Whew. Did they go into that bar or into the liquor store or the grocery store and get that, or drink it at home or what, saying, you know, I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to go run into somebody and hit them and crash it. No. But the stupidity that's caused by alcohol results in all of these kinds of things happening. And then, of course, part of what all of this brings together is the slavery caused by alcohol. When will I awake so I can get another drink? Little bit of the hair of the dog that bit you, as the saying goes. When am I going to wake up so I can do it all over again? Why? And yet, this is the society that we live in. People who, even those that don't admit they're alcoholics, even those that maybe don't qualify as alcoholics, they still love alcohol. All the time, there are studies coming out trying to prove, hey, you know, a little red wine will help this heart condition, or it'll help this condition or that condition. You know what I found interesting in all of those studies? A little unfermented grape juice will do the same thing the red wine will, except it won't get you drunk if you get and you won't get hooked on it. But it'll do the same thing that the medically speaking, that the alcohol supposedly will, as far as the heart and, you know, antioxidants they talk about and all these kinds of things. The pure fresh juice of the grape is just as good as those other things. These are 13 excellent reasons not to drink alcohol. The scarcity, the stupor, the sadness, the sorrow, the strife, the squawking, the soreness, the scarlet, the sickness, the strangeness, the swaying, the stupidity, and the slavery caused by it. How many reasons do we need? I mean, Solomon gave us a list of reasons to stay away from it. And he warned his son, hey, when that wine's red and sparkling in the cup, when it's swirling around and it smoothly, don't even look at it, much less drink it. One out of every people who drink become alcoholics. We talked about that earlier. That means, you know, and I don't know the percentage in our country of how many are teetotalers, as they say, who don't drink alcohol at all, and how many do drink. But of those that drink, I mean, let's say it's half, you know, so you're talking 100 million plus people that drink. It's probably higher than half. It's probably more like 70% drink and only about 30% that don't. But I don't know the statistics. I didn't look that up. But let's say it's half. Say there's 120, because we're not talking about children. We're talking about adults, even although, you know, underage drinking is a serious problem as well. But as adults, let's say there's 120 million. That means we have 12 million alcoholics in this country. Chances are, somebody here that we drink or have drunk or have been drunk or maybe even have been an alcoholic. And of course, as they say, once you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. You can't ever go back. You can't ever just have that first drink. You can't go back there. You can never not be one. You have to stay dry completely once you've been there. But if one out of 10 became an alcoholic, let's think about that. As we're about to leave, we're fixing to have the invitation song, and then we'll have a closing prayer, and we'll all leave here. If you knew that one out of 10 people that rode in a car today was going to die, would you get in your car and drive home? Or would you take the chance on walking? If you knew, I mean, I don't know how many people we've got here exactly today. You know, let's say there's 80 of us. If we knew that 8 of us, if we got in the car, we're going to die, would you do that? Would you take that risk? You see, one thing that I've found is that the only way you can be sure you'll not become an alcoholic, one way you can be sure you won't be a drunk and that you won't be sinning in God's eyes by becoming a drunk, And, you know, the Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit and not be filled with wine. The only way we can be sure of that is don't take that first drink. Or if you have taken a drink, stop. Don't go back and take another one. Every drink you take is going to get you that much closer to being that alcoholic that you don't want to be. Why do we want to push these things? You know, God gives us these things. He tells us these things. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. It's not good for you. Look at all these problems it causes. And we think, well, yeah, you know, but I can handle a little. Why do we do that? Why do we think that way? And yet so many times we do. That's the way we think. Well, I can have a little. I can handle some of it. You know, I can lie just a little, but I'll never become a liar. I can cheat a little on my taxes, but I'm not a thief. I can steal a few things from the office, but I'm not a thief. We need to beware. We think that we can do a little bit of these things. We can do it in moderation. It's not the case. It consumes us and it causes our souls to become dark with sin. If you're here this morning and you recognize that you have a need to, perhaps you've struggled with alcohol yourself and you need the strength of the prayers of the church to help you to overcome that. Perhaps you know someone that you've helped cause to become an alcoholic or to have some problems with alcohol. Perhaps not necessarily in alcohol, but you see some other area of your life where you haven't practiced sobriety. Maybe it's the anger that we talked about earlier, or maybe it's some other area where you've allowed yourself to be overcome by something else rather than being filled with the Spirit. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation at this time, please do so as we stand and as we sing.